T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by PenFed Credit Union. Great rates for the sports fan in you. You can visit PenFed.org for more details. It's Cakes, EB, and JP. And joining us right now, writer for the Fancy Stats blog for the Washington Post. He also hosts Crashing the Net here on 106.7 The Fan with Tom Daly. It's our pal Neil Greenberg. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hello, by the way, Neil, to start with the Caps, because I was driving around listening to a little of Crashing the Net, and you were saying that you weren't being gloomy and doomy, and this was before gloom and doom actually hit.
And by the way, Neil, I had completely repressed the memory of the Nashville loss. We were talking about it earlier, and EB was like, having the Caps given up 6 goals in back-to-back games? And I was like, no. He's like, yeah, they did in Nashville. I'd forgotten that bloodbath.
Should we be gloomy and doomy? That was the discussion you guys were having the other night.
Yeah, I thought I was being pretty upbeat, at least for me, during the show. And then, like you said, the caller called in and said I wasn't. But, look, this team is not doing well. The challenge is they're not as obviously they're not as talented as last year with all the off-season moves, but they can't catch up anymore. And if the goaltender, and talking about Braden Holtby or Philip Grubauer, has an off night, they can't hang with 5-6 goals a night anymore. So they need these 2-1, 3-2 type victories. And we saw last night that they were just kept on giving up goals in spectacular fashion, and that's not going to work. And I know Grubauer was dropping some F-bombs the other day after his loss, and he usually kind of gets the short end of the stick playing on back-to-backs, but he hasn't done himself any favors either. I mean, he's not really stopping many scoring high-danger scoring chances. He's seeing the same rate of high-danger scoring chances that Holtby is, and you couple that with the Caps giving him, I want to say, 2 goals less in support per game. It's going to be hard for him to get a win. It's going to be hard for the Capitals to get a win. And last night, I think you saw probably what we're going to see more often than not, unfortunately.
Neil, how much of the Caps' troubles are due to the fact that they've had a lot of man games lost? Niskanen was gone for a pretty long stretch. He's back now. And how are the younger defensemen coming along at this point? And how much longer, you know, is Barry Trotz willing and able to put those guys out there? Or is it just due to necessity, he has to have them out there on a nightly basis?
I think they've played very well. I mean, Madison Bowie started off fairly strong and looked like he belonged at the NHL, and obviously has stuck. You know, Christian Juice has had his high points. I don't think that you can blame a lot of these challenges on Niskanen being out. Now, it didn't help that they had to skate John Carlson 40 minutes a night or whatever it was, but it's the top six that's letting them down. I mean, Jacob Vrana was supposed to be a big part of the top six with the departures that happened. I mean, he was a healthy scratch. Andre Burakovsky was supposed to play a big role. He's been injured. And I know Devontae Smith-Pelly has done well, I guess, in a top six role. But let's face it, he's not a top six player. And there's a lot of passengers. Bruce Boudreau used to use the term passengers a lot. Passengers on the line, players that wait for something to happen instead of making stuff happen. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it from Kuznetsov overpassing both at even strength and the power play. TJ, you know, it's as if Ovechkin and TJ Oshie don't have a goal, this team struggles. So I'm not sure you can blame it all on the blue line injuries.
All right, let's move off the Capitals and get to the Redskins. You wrote an interesting piece about the Redskins, their talent level, Jay Gruden. Kind of summarize what you wrote about in the Washington Post.
So Pro Football Focus grades every single play that happens, and they award players a grade based on that. And they look at more the process that the player went through more so than the result. So, you know, if a wide receiver runs a good route and the quarterback just throws a bad pass, well, that's on the quarterback, not the wide receiver. And I think that that's a pretty good barometer for the overall talent level of the team, and they do it for offense, defense, special teams. So I looked at the overall talent level that Jay Gruden has had since he became coach of the Redskins, and it's been pretty bad. It's been on par with the talent level we've seen from the Cleveland Browns, who are arguably the worst team in the NFL ever since Gruden, maybe even beyond that. You can argue that the Redskins are in a better position because they have the quarterback situation shored up, at least for the short term, and don't have the revolving door. But overall, they've had the same level of talent, and whereas Jay Gruden has won 25 games, Cleveland has won 11, and I think that says something. I mean, you can only go so far with talent. At some point, you have to mobilize that talent into a winning product on the field. And I get his record isn't substantial, Jay Gruden, but he's certainly done more with less. And then I looked at other coaches that have been in seat since 2014, and he has the worst collection of talent level among that group, and still managed to win one more game than expected. I think that shows that he's doing a pretty good job and probably worthy of a fifth year of a deal that no coach has ever enjoyed under owner Daniel Snyder.
Hmm. You essentially came up with a WAR statistic for a coach.
Pretty much, yeah. I looked at how much the talent level, based on talent level, how many games you should be expected to win. So obviously, the more talented team you have, the more wins you're expected.
Right.
And it came out that he won one more game than expected. So yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Now, likewise, you have a current article out about Bryce Harper, and the Nats are obviously going to be in a difficult spot here. I know someone from the Nats organization said to me that Bryce is going to take a penny more than whoever gives. You know what I mean? Whoever gives him a penny more, that's where he's going. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows where that is? But you've said 500 isn't too much.
No, and this is the climate that we're in, right? Giancarlo Stanton has the current highest contract at 13 years, $325 million when he signed it in 2014. And Harper is every bit as good, but he's also young. I mean, we don't see a player that's as good as Harper, that's as young as Harper, hit the market almost ever, I want to say. And you look at how many years of his prime he has left, and then even if you start to give him just a typical aging curve off of that prime, he's probably worth close to $570 million starting from 2019 and going forward 10 years. And that includes also the price of free agency going up and other factors. So, yeah, I think – and that's just for the on-the-field product, right? You talk about all the marketing that's done around Bryce Harper, what he does for the game. And in my opinion, I mean, and based on the numbers that I saw, he's a bargain at $500 million. And here, for me, is the kicker, especially if you're from the Nationals. He's given you – like, if you look at all his wins above replacement throughout his career, he's given you $200 million in value for $21 million in cash. And he's due, what, another $26 or $27 million this year. I mean, he's already given you an amazing return on investment. So if you're the Nationals having benefited from that, you know, you have a little bit of, I guess, wiggle room in terms of, well, maybe you're paying a little bit for past performance because, you know, when a player's on arbitration in the early years, they don't really get paid that much.
Neil, maybe that's part of the reason they're paying the new skipper only about $1 million a year. They need to save their money for Bryce.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, Scott Boras is not going to take any hometown discount or let his free agents take hometown discounts. They just don't do that. And Bryce Harper is going to be obviously the premier free agent next year if he gets there. And there are going to be a lot of teams with a lot of money that are going to throw it at him because, like I said, I mean, you get a great on the field product. And you get someone that you could actually market your team and baseball markets its game around. So I think that from an overall investment standpoint, both on and off the field, it's a great investment.
All right, Neil, appreciate the insight.
Thank you,
buddy. Neil Greenberg. You can check out his work at WashingtonPost.com. And why don't you plug Crashing the Net? Because I was telling the guys, and I might be mistaken, I thought the show's on Wednesday nights at 6:30, but I could be wrong.
It's Tuesdays, unless there's a game.
It's on Tuesdays at 6:30, unless the Capitals play on Tuesday, in which case we're on Wednesday.
See?
So the best way, and Tom's going to love this, the best way to know when the show is on, follow Crashing the Net on Twitter, at Crashing the Net.
Ah, there you go.
Perfect. And I nailed that plug.
You did, yeah, man.
Yes, you did.
All right, quit thank being doomy and gloomy.
All right, I'll try. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
That was kind of the catchphrase for the last few minutes that I was listening to, because somebody called him doomy and gloomy, and he said, no, he's being upbeat.
I like the show.
And they got pounded.
I listen to it when I'm driving around, taking kids to SAT classes or picking them up from wherever.
Going to volleyball in North Carolina. Seems like that's how far away it is.
Oh, man.
When is the big SAT?
I don't know.
Like number two? Is he taking it already?
No, he hasn't taken it yet. I mean, he keeps taking all of these. You guys should take sample tests or whatever in the class. I don't know. But so far, I've paid $1,500 for, I believe, so far, a 10-point increase.
There you go. Get your money's worth.
I paid a lot of money for, I think, ACT is different, but it was a nominal increase, too.
I think a 10-point increase.
Well, that is really nominal.
Now, listen, we haven't taken the official one. This is just... as he's taking the practice.
It might be big time. It might be game day.
Steps up
on game day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for one of them, we did get him there an hour late. So
that's going to hurt you.
That'll hurt your score.
Yeah, you probably want to be on time for the actual SAT.
Listen, I don't want to break his balls, but it is what it is. I kind of sympathize for him. He said there's certain parts there on the math. You don't know how to do the problems. How are you going to get any better? I mean, you know, he hadn't reached that level of math yet. How are you going to get better on those?
I don't know.
I know you're not going to help him with it. No. I did. My kids know not to come to me for math help.
I did well in the SAT. Now, I didn't get a perfect PSAT score like AWOD.
Right. Mathlete over there.
And I did so well that even given my grades, which was a sub 3.0 in high school, okay? I think I finished with a 2.8 in high school.
You understand that's embarrassing.
I know. That might be rounding it up.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Roosevelt was hard. Right,
yeah. It was difficult.
Roosevelt was tough.
I brought some Nubs report cards home from there.
AP Chem, AP Physics, AP, all these AP courses. By the way, I never even took one AP test.
Got into the University of Maryland with a 2.8 GPA high school.
Because I had a silly SAT.
No one could get in with a 2.8.
But I had a silly SAT, and then I thought, all right, let me do this again, because maybe even given my 2.8, I might be able to get in like Georgetown or UVA. And then about halfway through the second go-round of the SAT, it was just so hard that I basically mentally punted, and I went down over 100 points the second time I took it.
Well, at least you
everybody's
took it.
Supposed to go up. The
at least
second
you
time.
Took it twice. I took it once and figured I'd go to PG.
And then I just figured, Maryland's good.
I took it twice. I scored 20 points less, and I said, "Well, I'm not taking this test ever again."
20 points less. You know,
this test is racially biased against white kids from the suburbs. I'm not going to take this test again.
Well, also,
are you kidding me?
I don't know about you guys, but my SAT prep, back in 1987 or so, consisted of my mom throwing an analogies book at me.
I don't even think I did that.
Yeah.
I don't think I did
that's
going to
help
prep.
Me. Like,
sure.
I'm gonna memorize all these. Like, it was like learn these words, and then, so you could do the analogy part.
Yeah.
Did they even do analogies on the SAT?
I couldn't tell you.
They did back then.
Yeah. Now it's like essay, and you could do like a history. Somebody's telling me you could do like a history. You could do like you could pick your own subject. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think in the ACT there are more topics.
Right.
Despite our nubby test taking skills, look at where we are today. We're an American success story.
We ended up in the same spot.
Yes.
Regardless of grades, regardless
doesn't matter.
Of SAT score.
It's all true.
Regardless, I took the LSAT and the GRE.
College is so
what a waste.
College is so overrated.
What a waste of admission fees.
If my kids had any sort of discernible skill, I would say skip college. Save $100K. Say $200K. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah. $200K.
Yeah, it's 200K.
Keep thinking it's only be 100K.
No, it's 200K. If you go out of state, it's 200K.
Yep. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. I'm told we're going to play Pie or Poo next.
Oh, good. I love that.
That's the segment formerly known as Hit or Hurtig.
Yeah, Pie or Poo, better name for it, though.
I think I'm a fan of Hit or Hurtig.
Are you?
I am.
I like Pie or Poo. All right, we'll do that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.